It's 50 years since the publication of one of the classic books about theatre, and it was written by the man who directed this.
I'm going to see Krishna.
Perhaps he's already here.
In what form?
In the form of a man. His action is subtle, mysteriously clear. He's water, trembling of a leaf. He's you. He's fire. He's the heart of all that's invisible.
He's you as well.
Naturally.
An extract from an epic theatre production from the 1980s, the nine-hour Mahabharata by the great English director Peter Brook. Well, actually, that's from the film, which was just 6 hours. Brook is best known for his famous and defiant manifesto, The Empty Space. The book was a clarion call for a new kind of theatre, a theatre that was vital and sacred and popular. And this year, I note, marks the 50th anniversary of its publication, which is a good reason to ask three people who are in touch with young theatre makers to reflect on this book and its legacy. John Bashford is the head of acting at NIDA, the National Institute of Dramatic Art. G'day, John.
G'day.
Welcome to the studio. And Anthea Williams has directed major productions for Sydney's Belvoir Theatre over the past couple of years, and she's directed extensively in the UK as well. Anthea?
Hi.
And Tim Walker is a third-year acting student at NIDA.
Hello.
Nice to have you here. So, John, when did you first encounter The Empty Space?
I was studying on the postgraduate course at NIDA in 1985, and it was put on the prescribed book list. So there was John Berger's Ways of Seeing and Peter Brook's Empty Space.
So they were classic works of that period, weren't they?
Absolutely.
The other one was Towards a Poor Theatre by the Polish director Jerzy Grotowski. Everyone read that as well, didn't they? They were the three sacred texts, really. Was it influential in your world?
I think it was. I think it opened my eyes. I think reading all three books at the same time was very influential because it changed my perspective and way of thinking about what it was that I was engaged with and what I'm trying to do.
How?
The challenge to, for example, Deadly Theatre, the notion that there is a star system of theatre which operated very successfully in the UK, in the West End, and yet at the same time, there were all these other ways of trying to make work that could speak in a manner that I felt would connect to an audience and I think trying to provoke a response.
So Deadly Theatre is the bad theatre he sets up. That's his sort of whipping boy. So Anthea, what about you? When did you encounter or when did you see the influence of this book?
I encountered it at university as well. So I went to the University of New South Wales. And it was kind of revelatory as a student to be allowed to understand that feeling that I sometimes had in the theatre was boredom, and that was okay. That wasn't that I didn't understand what was happening. That was actually that I did understand that not enough was happening.
I'll tell you what really resonated with me back in the day was this idea of masterpiece theatre, which he has a go at. And that was the idea that you go and see these Shakespeare productions or a production of a classic and actually you're bored senseless, but you dare not say because it's obviously high art and you're clearly just not worthy of appreciating it.
That is absolutely right.
And I think that's one of the most important things. Every time you approach a classical piece of work, I think you've got to destroy any preconceptions that you might have about that piece of work. I think there's a duty in a way or a responsibility to look at the context out of which a work emerges, but at the same time you've got to bear in mind you're trying to speak to an audience today, and that's really got to be our focus, is that sense of how do we make these people come alive for this group of human beings who are going to look at it under, let's say, an Australian sky.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely right. You can recreate everything about a piece of theatre from the past except for the audience.
Yes.
So, Tim, you're an acting student now.
Yes.
You're in third year now.
Yes.
So you've read it specially for us. So you obediently did as you were told.
Uh-huh.
Did you think, well, this is an old piece of nonsense, or did it speak to you?
His idea that theatre is an experiment, that really, really spoke to me. We should be experimenting, we should be playing. Like the last thing he says is that a performance is a play and to play we play. And as an actor, there's a huge sense of freedom when you take that responsibility away of making a performance perfect and you approach it from I'm experimenting, I'm playing, I'm trying to be inventive and imaginative and create something that no one's done before.
He is criticising a sort of theatre that probably was more common in Britain than it was here, which is that sort of repertory theatre that just went on and on and on. He talks about a commercial theatre designed to make money and all the tricks that actors use, you know, the upstaging they would use and, you know, putting a handkerchief into your pocket as you come on stage to indicate that you've been doing something outside, all these old hammy sort of tricks. And he's very tired of those, isn't he? He's really, I guess what he's really looking for is the kind of authenticity, really.
Absolutely. He's looking for something real to be happening between people on stage. And all of his experiments are about that. And people think that he is a minimalist, and actually that's not true. He talks about how much he liked, and particularly when he starts on a project, how much he puts in, but then he's always paring it back because what he loves is the human and he wants real things to be happening between people.
He wasn't minimal in terms of duration. The Mahabharata, which a lot of people saw at the Adelaide Festival, went for 8 hours and it was in a quarry. But those who were there still speak of it with awe and reverence. But the other famous ones are Midsummer Night's Dream. That's a famous production he did, all in a big white space. The Conference of the Birds I saw.
And, of course, he's gone back to Shakespeare time and time again. I saw him do some Beckett shorts, which were absolutely beautiful.
Well, he loves Beckett. I mean, he talks about holy theatre, the theatre of the invisible made visible. And this is a theatre that he wants to encourage. So he says that three of the people who he identifies with holy theatre are Merce Cunningham, the great New York dance maker, Jerzy Grotowski, who we're talking about, the Polish director, and Beckett. Now, it struck me that all of them seem to me to be sort of esoteric rather than popular, if you know what I mean. On the one hand, there's this gesturing towards the popular. On the other hand, none of those is exactly popular.
No, and I think that's part of the challenge, particularly with Beckett. Interestingly, we've just, as part of our season at NIDA, done a production of Waiting for Godot, directed by Susanna Dowling. And what was fascinating watching it was a group of young actors taking on these roles and then within the work that they were doing, creating a space where, as he describes it, the invisible happens, the unspoken becomes present. I find it very hard to describe that, but there's just that moment, or there are many moments throughout the play where something else is happening that transcends, if you like, the words on the page, the action on the stage and the space itself, but it actually transmits. And I think that idea of the invisible, it's rather like at the end of The Winter's Tale, Hermione's statue comes to life. It's a piece of theatrical hokum, and yet its resonance and its possibility within an audience is astonishing. And I think that sort of idea that the holy and the invisible can coexist is really, really interesting.
So the theatre is a portal to some kind of spiritual plane or experience?
Yeah, possibly.
But a collected experience as well, because you're in a theatre with 30 other people or 700 other people and you see the same thing, but you have, and you have a different experience, but it's a collective different experience, so you all have it at the same time. And so in something like Waiting for Godot, where you could argue that Beckett is trying to make you bored or to wait for something, you have that experience together, but it's also different. And I think that's what the intangible, invisible thing is. We all have it, but it's all different.
That's the key idea. Yeah, I think you've nailed it. Yes, that idea of something that's normally experienced in private becomes a shared, ritualized perhaps, experience. Anthea, what do you make of this?
I have met him, and he came to see a show at a theatre I was working at in the UK, and he is exactly as you would expect. He is calm and kind and thoughtful and doesn't jump into making judgments, and I imagine he's exactly like that in the rehearsal room. That's certainly how he talks about rehearsing. And I think he does understand that theatre is a collective and a ritual experience. It is something where we come together to commune, and as our society becomes more and more secular, we need that more and more, and he understands how to make that.
Well, he also talks about rough theatre, which he likes too.
Well, I was about to say, and he's also not afraid of a fart joke.
I suppose, John, we've got to ask, how practical is it for the rest of us to take Peter Brook as a model? Because he has been quite privileged. He's lived in a kind of splendid isolation in a big theatre in Paris, where he's been able to take a year if he wanted to make a piece, whereas the rest of us are working, well, maybe for 6 weeks, sometimes for four, in order to get the show up.
Yeah, I think there's a different cultural attitude to supporting the art and the artists in France, and I think that's one of the great strengths. So yes, in some ways he is privileged in being able to, you know, run the Bouffe du Nord and have that company of international artists working with him over a very long period of time. I think for us, we are constantly walking the tightrope, really. We've got time is the pressure and the box office is the accountant. And so what we have to do is we have to cut our cloth. However, I think out of that, those two tensions, if you like, the limit of time and the pressure to get something up and running, out of that can come extraordinary magic. And I think that's what I see time and time again.
Tim Walker, you're a third year student at NIDA. Did anything about the book seem dated?
The language is a little bit dated in the way that it's talked about. For example, he only
The pronouns are very dated.
Yeah, he says the actors are he, directors are he. Yeah. There's even one moment at the back where if you were to play an Asian or an African character, that how would you imitate it, which we know in 2018 you wouldn't do, you would cast appropriately. So that's probably the only thing that I found really dated. In terms of how an actor approaches their work, it still came from a place of exploration and fun and invention, imagination. If anything, it felt revolutionary to a lot of teachers that I've worked with in the past, not at NIDA but in other places, where it's been internal. And what was really accessible about this book was it's action-driven. It needs to be about moving the other actor, the other character, and in doing so, the audience.
John, it seems to me this is the challenge today working with young actors is to find that sense of scale, that sense of grandeur, that sense that's required on a big stage, because to so many actors who view television and film as the authentic, being big feels sort of stagey and sort of not real, not truthful.
I think that is a key element of the training that we offer at NIDA. The first year, if anything, we would put the focus on the self. So the idea with the first year of training is that you're looking at the actor and the actor's discovering their own body, their voice, their how they move, how they think, how they engage with language, text, words, voice, training, movement, and so on. And in the second year, what we do is we take them into what we might regard as the other. And within the worldview of the other, what we're looking at is how do you then take and find the truth that will support the heightened language, the heightened gesture, the different types of plays, texts, and so forth. I think what becomes liberating for the actors that take it is the sense that they discover actually it's about perhaps volume, or it's about turning up the, you know, the volume control, if you like, and fully inhabiting the life of these characters, but they're nonetheless truthful for their heightened quality.
So Peter Brook, 50 years of The Empty Space. What's the take-home message, do you reckon?
Peter Brook stands for rough magic. He stands for privileging the human. He stands for one person walking across a space with another group of people watching is what theatre is. And it's easy 50 years later when we have so many theatres above pubs or below pubs or tiny little spaces to believe that that's always been the case. But actually, he welcomed that and said that this is some of the best work that you'll see. And there is a reason why there is an award given out every year in the UK called the Empty Space Award that goes to theatres that are creating beautiful work in remarkable and often small spaces, possibly not even theatres, not even indoor theatres. So we're very, very lucky to have had him.
Yeah. He starts the book by telling us that theatre is as simple as the action of a man who walks across an empty space while someone else is watching him. It's a very poetic idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks to all three of you for coming in. It's been a lovely conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
John Bashford is the head of acting at NIDA. Anthea Williams is a director and dramaturg who's worked at Belvoir, where she's directed works by Taylor Mack and Nakia Louie and Tom Holloway, some big names. And Tim Walker is a third-year acting student at NIDA. And we've been discussing The Empty Space by the English director Peter Brook on the 50th anniversary of its publication. I'd love to know if Peter Brook has influenced you. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Go to our new Facebook page at ABC Arts. I'm Michael Cathcart. This is RN.